Good morning. So I'm going to talk about the Ukraine experience 2014-15 and how our war game models compare to the actual experience. But I'm going to do it through a story. Well, first of all, one dark night, someone approached our university with a suitcase full of used fivers saying, do you want to do some work with Ukraine? And my ex-vice chancellor didn't even realize there were any issues with Ukraine. So obviously we were one of the very few British universities said, yeah, that sounds a good plan. Real cultural differences. When I met some of these people, I gave them a box of chocolates. They gave me five bottles of vodka. That is a British undergraduate's year's supply of alcohol. Now, I've got an academic perspective, and I tend to look for evidence. So some things I'm going to say are a little bit critical. Now, these are evidence-based deductions. I might have some of the details wrong, but my story is definitely right. So are our war games accurate and complete representations of war, particularly future war? So it's two issues. One is models of past wars, and the other is war games as models of future wars. And of course, it's really difficult to do that. Well, obviously everyone says war games work and they always go to the Prussians and the Germans. Actually, it's under-researched and you cannot definitively say that. In fact, I can definitively say that German war games helped cost them World War II because on June 6, 1944, their Normandy sector command staff were absent playing a war game instead of being in their command posts. And without any research, I can say this may have interfered with the German response. Now, just going back to the early days of wargaming, we've had a problem right from the start. British War Office rules 1896, and they're talking about cavalry doing frontal attacks on guns being a jolly good thing, or perhaps cavalry attacks versus unshaken infantry. Clearly, they'd never heard of the Charge of the Light Brigade. Now, without any research, I do not know what impact those war games they were playing had on our performance in the early battles of the Boer War, but I'm pretty certain a lot of things now become clear now I've played those games. Now, of course, everyone says, yeah, let's look at the US War College. You know, the Naval War Games, they're great, aren't they? And that's based on what Nimitz said, a senior officer. And of course, you should always believe what senior officers say. Well, as someone who's about to publish two books on these games, I'd say there are major differences between the United States Naval War Games before World War II and what actually happened in World War II. I mean, you know, gunnery actions by day in the rules. Actually, most gunnery actions were by night. The role of air power, etc. There are major differences. Of course, these games had tremendous value and were useful, but to say these war games were good models of what then happened, well, actually, I would say they almost cost America World War II. In 1938, they did an excellent war game, which was a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. And then they did an after-action review, which was looking at how it could be done better. Now, I have no evidence whatsoever, but I'm just thinking the Japanese must have been fascinated by that particular idea, mustn't they? So, don't believe what senior officers say about the value of war games. Now, sometimes hobby wargamers in the past have got things really right. The Fletcher Pratt Naval War Game, played 1933-45, had probably some of the most intellectual power which has ever been committed to one war game. You know, with Asimov, Sprague Tam, Trevor Tuohy, etc. Someone who then invented ICBMs for the Americans, all sorts of things. Actually, the really successful person was the person who worked out how to supply beef to fast food restaurants. They were all players in this game. And actually, looking at their private correspondence, they actually modelled future war in the Pacific really accurately. The only problem is, at the time, we didn't actually know that their games were right. But surely modern professional Cold War games are much better. Well, what's actually the evidence? So I've looked at five games, four of which have been published by a well-known wargaming publisher, and the fifth will be published very shortly. Now, of course, we all know that, you know, Roland's work, stress of battle, when you're in a real war, it's nothing like being in even realistic training, and the hit probabilities, it's difficult to compare. But let's just look at the Russian T-62 against a UK chieftain. So the rules vary between 6% chance of a kill to 96% chance of the kill. Okay, well, that's okay. That's only the C62. Let's go look at the US tow. It's only varies from 26% to 83%. And the advantage of tanks being hull down, well, that varies considerably as well. So these are all classified Cold War rules being used for serious training, and the probabilities vary hugely. They can't all be right. But actually, all our war games were wrong. The central front in Europe, I was playing a game of Mega Blitz, which is all about trucks and getting enough trucks to the front. So I set up the Russian trucks for their division like this, the British like this, and the Americans like this. And then I started to dig into this, and I realized this war game told me something very interesting. In 1980, they had 1,500 vehicles per division, but pre-approximately 1976, they had 250 vehicles per division. So what would have happened if they'd gone across the border in 1970? Well, after 3 days, they would have been stuck because they would have shot their logistic bolt, they would have run out of supplies, and really, would the BAOR or the American Fifth Corps really have stood there and wait for the Russians to resupply? I reckon the war would have been over in 7 days if nuclear weapons had not been used. But none of the war games I've looked at from the Cold War have ever told me, actually, the Russian logistic effort prior to 1976 was farcical. It was laughable. It was ridiculous. They would never get anywhere. So perhaps all our Cold War games are actually wrong, at least on the Central Front. So my view from academic is there's major errors in the Cold War games. So let's go and look at the Ukraine experience 2014-15. Yes, on Ukraine's side, they had professional warriors, and yes, they played free Kriegsspiels with maps and little counters and things. There were some unexpected features of the war. So people who were there have said subsequently they were surprised by one or two things. So their preparation, including their war games, had not prepared them. Everyone talks about UAVs. Well, in 2014-15, they actually worked. They were critical. The Ukrainians lost two mechanized battalions in two separate actions in 3 minutes because the drones had spotted them. And so what do the Russians do really well? They plaster things with artillery. You know, they knew where the lager was. Just in case they missed, they hit all the grid squares around. Yeah. 90% of the actions actually in the Ukrainian conflict were artillery and missile actions. And this is really important because they failed to anticipate this, so their defense spending, or should I say defense cuts, because that's what they're doing before the war, never a good idea. Perhaps they should have refocused them on certain areas. The manned portable air defense were absolutely deadly. The Ukrainians lost 3 helicopters in just 1 day, and that was one team on the Russians who knew how their kit worked. Another surprise were tanks. There's always been a race between tanks and armor. At the moment, the tanks are winning. So basically, the Ukrainian infantry could not stop the Russian tanks. However, the IFVs of the Russians were more vulnerable, so they were always hiding around the ridge, and the infantry were charging forward like something out of the First World War, running as fast as they could, chasing these invulnerable tanks. So let's just look at our war games then. These are models of war beforehand. So I'm going to look at just three. I looked at quite a lot more, but I think you get the gist of it from this. So matrix games. Well, the problem for me looking at the war is it was not a narrative war. So matrix games are all about imposing a narrative through arguments, and you're putting a reason structure and the war then develops. The front line in the Ukraine conflict is like holding onto a piece of rope and shaking it, and sort of, you know, you get sort of loop goes through and you shake again it, because it was decided a lot of things were happening at a very low level and no one on either side really actually knew what was going on or why. Why did the front line collapse, as in the section of infantry in that village fell back 10 miles. No one really knows why. It was really difficult to understand it. There were a large number of black swans. So if you said in your matrix game, well, okay, my tanks, you can't stop my tanks. Well, the chance of you winning on an argument in that prior to the war in the matrix game, you know, they say, hang on, that's ridiculous. Of course the infantry can stop the tanks. The role of drones, okay. Now, interesting one was the poor crematoria to dispose of bodies. That's the Russians brought them along to dispose of bodies, their own war dead and Well, I'm sure you can think of alternative uses for those. Well, if you suggest that in a Matrix game, there's no chance you'd get that argument through. So we are really good at creating Matrix games for the past. So if I want to set up a Matrix game, we could produce a narrative from that game which would sound very much like the conflict. But to me, if you did that before the conflict actually happened, you do not get a model of the war, a narrative model of the war, which matches what happened. Well, let's look at board games. Brian's starting to look a bit worried now. Okay. Now, this is just one example. Millennium Wars, Ukraine 2000, it was designed 2003. Joe Miranda, really experienced designer. It was published 10 years before the crisis, and the game is very good, except it's complete and utter nonsense. The Orbat scale, they talked about the Russians committing 9 divisions. Actually, they committed about 2,000 men. NATO would obviously counterattack with armoured divisions and mechanised infantry divisions. I mean, get real. You know, we might get a few brigades there, given a few weeks. They basically assumed it would be World War III in the Ukraine. Of course, the game was completely and utterly wrong. So let's look about a Brian Train game, which was actually designed just before, well, just as the conflict was happening. Now, there were a few changes he made, and according to the game designer, the game was half right and half wrong. And it's a very good game, and actually I think that's pretty good for a very short notice, designed at the start of conflict, getting it approximately right is pretty good. Now, looking back, people like Decision Games, who I know have been mocked at this conference slightly, but actually they've got, you know, their Modern War game, what was it, issue 34, they've got a model of the conflict. Actually, you know, it's pretty good. So what's the point? So we are actually very good at modelling past conflicts, we're not so good at modelling future conflicts. Now, computer games, I showed the Ukrainians. If you work with Ukrainians, it's important to work with them before lunch, because at lunch they like to drink. Well, we looked at a modern tactical trainer. It's got to remain anonymous. All I can say is used in the defense world. And they fell over laughing. There were errors in it which would apply to any conflict. And the problem is that it was modeling individual avatar level. So an individual avatar, of course, a platoon attack is the time for a platoon attack is the same for a company, same for a battle group. Because obviously you send 30 people up the mountain, isn't that the same as sending 800 people up the mountain? The train was too simple. So, you know, Eskimos really do have 50 words for snow. Well, the woods in this game were too simple. You know, I mean, are they mature trees which you can drive through with your armor? Or are they small enough you can crush them with your armor? Are there rides going through it? If you've got rides, is that a convenient place to store the logs, which the forestry people have cut down, in which case the rides are impassable unless engineers have cleared them. So the terrain analysis was just too simple. And the casualty rates for the platoon, company, and battle group actions were all the same. And obviously we know the more people have an action, the lower the casualty rate. So actually this computer game actually wasn't very good. So basically, what can I say? We can model past conflicts really, really well. From the ancient world to what happened 10 years ago, we are really good at that. We have a room full of people who can produce really good games and know how to validate them and go round and round in a cycle till eventually you've got a game which does model reality. But the model, the war games made prior to the war, did not model the Ukraine conflict very well at all. But just to end on a high note, I don't want anyone to think, gosh, there's no use of war games. So for the last 12 months, I've been looking at the academic evidence for war games, and actually there's some really solid evidence in the literature, researched, referee journal publications, etc., which actually say that games are really good training value and have got a lot of value. So I don't want to dismiss the value of games. I don't want you to go away thinking, no, they're no good. They are really good. The problem is, if you think your war games about future wars are actually right. So, past games have hit some things which are right and other things which are wrong. They've helped the participants of those games think through what the conflict is going to look like. And for exercising human dynamics and interaction, war games are probably the best we have at the moment. They're not perfect, I wouldn't like to bet my life on a war game or retirement income or the existence of my nation state on a war game alone. No way. But you definitely need to use them and pay attention. Just be wary if you think they're right when you're talking about the future. Thank you.